May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me do a little business first. I keep forgetting to. Next week, starting Wednesday night, it'll be Wednesday night, then during the day, Thursday and Thursday night, Friday and Friday night, is our conference called Experiencing a Signs and Wonders Lifestyle. So I encourage you to come. Tell others to come. The doors open at 6:30 on Wednesday night. The evening session starts at 7 o'clock. The morning sessions, Thursday and Friday, start at 9:30. I think it's going to be a really good conference. Also, hot off the press is this new booklet. I think it's like 40 pages, almost 50 pages. It's called Joseph, the Foster Father of Jesus. And so it's be good any time to have to refer to. And we're putting it out just before the season of Advent so that it can be an Advent devotional that you read one devotional a day. There's some back there, and they're like $5 a piece. But again, I think it'd be really something in benefit to you. Okay. You have a Bible with you, or if there's one in front of you in your pew, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And for those of you who are part of CTK, I can see this being a word that we share on a Sunday morning at some point as we finish in the book of Esther. Let me just read some verses to you and then put some pieces back together. Verse 15, I'm going to read it to you the way it's actually grammatically structured in the original language instead of some of the things they put in it to try to explain. We'll let it speak for itself. This is Paul speaking. He'd earlier said in verse 13, he says, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died for all, that they who live should no longer live themselves, but him who died and rose again for them." Let me read that again in verse 15. "And he died for all, that they who live should no longer themselves do the living, but him, Christ, do the living, who died and rose for them. Therefore, from now on, in light of what he just said, from now on, we recognize no person according to the flesh, or no person by what he is in the flesh, or what she is in the flesh. Even though we have known Christ by what he is in the flesh, we don't know him that way any longer. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all these new things that have come," verse 18, "are from God." It's all grace. "Who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation." When Paul says, he says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded that Christ died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who have said yes to the gospel, those who've believed in the gospel, that those who live would no longer themselves do the living, but Christ would do the living, who died and rose for them, that he might do the living. For if any person's in Christ," he says, from now on, after light of that, Christ living in me, Christ living through me, me now being controlled by the love of Christ, loving from the inside out, not begging God to help me love people, but loving, if Christ is doing the living, loving them from Christ, from the inside out. Not the outside in. We don't have to pray, "Oh God, please give me a love for that person." Jesus living in you is love for that person. He says, "For if any person," he said, "for you, we used to just see people the way they were according to the flesh. We used to view Jesus that way. He's just this Jew running around doing stuff. We don't see him that way any longer. We don't see other people that way anymore. We don't see them according to the flesh. For if any person's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things have passed away, including seeing people the way we used to see them. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And God is the source of all this, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us the word of reconciliation, which is namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to himself. Now you and I, if you're a Christian, we can say that we're in Christ. We're living. We're alive. We're no longer spiritually dead. We're alive. Because we've said amen, thank you, to the gospel. We believe what he accomplished. We didn't do anything. It says all these things are from God. So if they're all from God, it's all from grace, then all we can do in response is to believe or not believe. And once we believe, that which is objectively ours, which he accomplished for us 2,000 years ago, crucified what we were, raised us up as a new creation in him so that we can live from him. Those of us who have said yes to that, we can say that we're in Christ, living from Christ, and the love of Christ controls us. But one of the reasons that the love of Christ controls us is that we get to see people the way Jesus sees them. And he said that if Jesus died for all died. And the truth is, objectively, every human being was reconciled to God in Christ. I'm not saying every human being is born again, but I'm saying every human being is objectively a new creation in Christ. That's how Jesus sees them. And Jesus longs for them to say yes, to believe in what he's accomplished for them, so that that could be manifested in their life. They can actually subjectively come alive into the fact that they're new creations. And if we're seeing from Christ, it's impossible to hate other people. It's impossible to disdain people. It's impossible to not love, to not honor, to not celebrate the dignity of who a person is from God's perspective. They may not have said yes to the gospel. They may not be manifesting all that subjectively, but that's what he sees about them. That's why he says the love of Christ controls us. We don't see people according to the flesh anymore. See, we live in a day where we can't find our basic identity. We come from, among Jews, there were different tribes or different expressions of God's creativity, but we don't find our identity in the color of our skin, in our politics, or any of those things. And we don't dislike or hate someone because their skin color is different or their politics are different. They may even be standing against things that Christ is for. But our attitude towards them and our affection towards them is to see them as people who have been reconciled to God through Christ, who have died with Christ, who raised up with Christ 2,000 years ago, and who are new creations in Christ. They just don't know it. And if they die not knowing that, they will go to hell. And so we see what Jesus has done. We see them not according to the flesh. That's one of the earmarks of a new creation. We see them not according to the flesh, but who they are in Christ, even though they don't see that yet. And we honor them. We honor the dignity of their humanity from God's perspective that's been assumed into Christ, redeemed and sanctified. And we long to share that good news with them so that their eyes will be open and they'll say yes and amen to the gospel. Shame on Christians who walk in division. Shame on Christians who dislike or despise or disdain people. It's disgraceful. Because if we're reacting to people according to what they do, I can just walk to the street and see a person in the gutter who's a drug addict, who's spewing out hateful things. Does the love of Christ control me? Am I seeing them in Christ, celebrating their dignity in Christ, wanting them to hear the gospel? Or am I despising them, wanting me to stay away from them? Those who have been mastered by grace live from grace, know they're alive because of grace. All these things are from God. And see God's grace on these other people's lives, and we want them to have their eyes open so they can say yes. That's our identity. That's who we are. If people hurt you, done things to you, Christians or non-Christians, do you feel you've been treated wrong and poorly? Do you see them Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know the truth about what's just happened to them. Do we see them as new creations? And we pray for them, for their eyes to be open, to fully start living from Christ and know the wonders of that so they can see things differently and live out who they are as a new creation? Or do we reject them, get bitter and resentful? Or do we call forth what God's accomplished in them? Whether they're a Christian, that should be easier to do, or if they're a non-Christian. The good news to every non-Christian is, guess what? Your problems have already been fixed. Your brokenness has already been healed. By His stripes, you've been healed. You're not the person that you think you are anymore. You're a new creation in Christ because you were in Him, His death, burial, and resurrection. Everything that you wish that you weren't, that you long to be, He's already done it. All you have to do is believe. And that which is true about you will begin to manifest in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.